The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
A Strange Encounter While Bow Hunting by a Returning Author, Clyde, 2003. It was September in central Idaho. Autumn had come to the mountains, and with it, bow hunters came looking for mountain goats. This happened to my cousin, Vern. Vern is an avid hunter. He's been all over North America hunting various game. Bears in Alaska, wild hogs in Texas, bighorn sheep in Wyoming. But his favorite hunting area was the Limhi Mountain Range in central Idaho. Our extended family has been hunting in those mountains for generations. We know every river bottom and mountain peak in a way that many people know their neighborhoods. Mountain goats are fascinating animals to hunt. They live well above the tree line in rocky environments. They are sure-footed and can climb nearly vertical slopes. Hunting these animals requires one to venture into dangerous areas and to be mindful in order to pursue an animal like that. One wrong step on a rocky slope or one loose rock could mean that you're not going to be returning home. That being said, Vern was an expert mountain hunter. It's just something he was born to do. Vern decided to hunt in the Hayden River area of the Limhis. It's a familiar spot to most locals, and the area is home to plenty of mountain goats. The first mile of Vern's hike was uneventful as he climbed up the canyon. The air was crisp, and his breath formed in great plumes as he progressed. The sun was just peeking over the mountains when Vern came upon a small deer trail. He decided that it might be a nice shortcut from his usual route, so he took it. A few hundred feet up the trail, he saw something odd pop out from behind a tree. It was a man. He was dressed in a light denim coat and jeans, and he was carrying a small backpack. My cousin stopped for a second to get his bearings, unsure of where the guy came from. The man waved at him with both arms. One of them was holding an older-style hunting bow. Acknowledging him, Vern waved back. Although the man looked to be physically fine, it was clear to Vern that he was emotionally distressed. The man yelled something out and then waved to my cousin, who couldn't quite hear him. He was clearly indicating that he wanted my cousin to follow him. Vern didn't pick up any bad feelings from this man, and he could tell that he was genuinely in need of some help. So, he began to make his way up the canyon, following this mystery man. The man was moving quickly, so Vern could never really gain any ground on this guy. He was always just far enough away that he couldn't really talk to him. Periodically, the man would stop and turn around to make sure that Vern was still following him. Every time he looked back, Vern would see the worry on his face. My cousin did his best to remain calm and keep a smile on his face, even though he was unsure of who was leading him or what he was being led to. It was peculiar, Vern thought as he hiked. He hadn't seen any other vehicles on his drive up to the trailhead. Perhaps this man came in from over another ridge. What could he possibly be leading him to? He figured that a member of his hunting party could have been hurt or needed help. Of course, he wouldn't have to speculate if the man would just stop and talk to him for 5 minutes. Vern lost sight of the guy just past a turn in the trail, and that's when the trail opened up to an incredibly steep, rocky slope. He looked in every direction, but he could not locate the man. That is, until he heard a whistle from above. Looking up, he saw the guy about 500 feet up the rocky slope waving at him. Vern was shocked that the man scaled the steep slope so quickly. The speed at which he did seemed inhuman. It was impossible to have gotten up that far in the short amount of time that he lost sight of him. And though this was getting stranger, he still didn't feel any fear or weariness about the situation. Then the man started waving more frantically, practically begging Vern to follow him up the slope. With a sigh and a grunt, Vern started up the rocks. It was slow going. Every other step caused a mini rock slide, which caused him to lose his footing continually. After climbing and huffing and puffing the cool air, my cousin eventually made it to a small landing. It had taken almost 45 minutes to get to the spot where he saw the man from below. Exhausted and out of breath, Vern sat down on the stone landing. He looked around and couldn't see the man anywhere. As he scanned his surroundings, he saw something odd poking out from behind a boulder. It was about 20 feet away from him. He walked over to it and found a weathered boot. Two boots, actually. Inside those boots, and under the boulder as well, were bones. Vern looked around once again for the man, but he never saw him again. Instead of feeling eerie and unnerved, Vern felt a sense of relief wash over him. These emotions weren't his own. It felt like what he was feeling seemed to come from all around him. He marked the spot with his GPS and decided to make his way back down and call the authorities. The Lemhi County Sheriff's Office responded, and he led them up the canyon to the body. It took 4 grown men to push the boulder out of the way, and when they did, they found the skeletonized remains of a man. On the body, they found hunting equipment and some personal effects. From a credit card in the wallet, they were able to identify the man. He was a bow hunter who had gone missing almost exactly 53 years beforehand. Vern never wanted to be identified to the public or the missing hunter's family. He didn't want recognition for this. To him, it was just one of those bizarre mountain stories. He was happy that the man's family got closure, even if it was more than half a century later. He had mentioned seeing the waving man before finding the remains to the sheriff, but it was brushed off. When news reports came out announcing the discovery, several photos of the man were published. Vern was absolutely shocked when he saw them. In the photos was the man that he had seen waving before leading him up the mountain to these skeletal remains. It all finally made sense to him. The man's distressful look, the constant checking if Vern was following him, the sense of relief that he felt when the body was discovered. That man was desperate to get home, and through Vern, he was able to be reunited with his family.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
The Gift That Keeps on Giving by Amanda. So originally, I wasn't going to write in with my experiences because I didn't think that anyone would believe them, since people that I tell in real life don't believe me. But after listening to this podcast, I realized that I am not alone and feel comfortable sharing. So here we go. When I was little, I had experiences that I didn't even know were strange. For example, one time I remember seeing what I call the Pizza Man ghost, but I don't remember how old I was. All I know is that my mom talks about how I ran out of my parents' bedroom and yelled that there was a man in there. The memory I have is of me lying on their bed and looking to the foot of the bed across the room. I saw a white, almost translucent man. He was wearing a polo shirt and what my little mind registered as a Pizza Man hat. There wasn't any actual color, but I interpreted red and black, like Pizza Hut. The whole entity had a soft white glow, and he had curly hair. I don't remember what his face looked like. I freaked out and he noticed me, then kind of floated out of the window while I hid under the blankets. I don't remember anything past that, but when my parents tell the story, they say that I ran out of the room crying about a man being in there. My grandmother happened to take a picture of me that same day. A few days later, after the film got developed, my family noticed there was white fog floating over my head. They said it clearly wasn't the camera's flash. It wasn't a reflection either, because I was against the couch in the living room. Apparently, my grandmother still has that photo. I'm not surprised this happened, because ever since I can remember, I have felt in touch with the other side. I am a home health aide, which means I go to houses and take care of the sick and the elderly, or anyone who needs help. That's what I have done for almost 10 years. The first time I remember knowing for sure that something was different about me was at a client's house. He had pancreatic cancer, and it had spread to his bones. When I met him, he could still talk and communicate, as well as eat and drink. He also didn't complain about being in too much pain when he'd get bathed. But within 2 to 3 weeks, he was basically a shell of the human he used to be. He couldn't communicate anymore, and any time we had to move him, all he would do was cry in pain, but he never looked at us. One day, I was in his kitchen, which had a bedroom attached to it, but the door stayed shut, since it was a spare room that he never used. I walked past it to go to the fridge and came back to the table. I happened to look over at the door, and what I saw looked like a shadow of a person climbing out from underneath it, as it then walked past it. All of a sudden, the house felt heavy. It felt like I had 800 blankets on me in a sauna. It was hard to breathe. It was heavy. It felt dark, even though it was only noon. It all just felt wrong. I was overwhelmed with the sense that I should not be in that house, so I stepped outside. I went out on the back porch and I just stood there, but the feeling of heaviness stayed. I sat by my client for a little while and just hung out with him, talking. The other caregiver working with me had woken up from a nap, and I told her about how I felt like it was too hot in the house, and how I just didn't feel good. I nearly felt sick, but she had no idea what I was talking about. She was completely content after her nap and thought that I just wanted to go home. I quit that job just a few days later for unrelated reasons. About a week later, I was informed that the client had passed away, 2 weeks to the day from when I started feeling that heaviness. Not long after that, I had another client. He had Alzheimer's and congestive heart failure, but the doctors said that as long as he stayed active and well cared for, they couldn't give him a life expectancy, since he was in such great shape. He was almost 90 years old and still went to the gym daily. I worked with him for several months. I was there 80 hours a week, every week, for over a year. One night, I was working the 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. shift and was in the basement watching TV. I felt that familiar heavy feeling. I looked around and remembered thinking that his deceased wife was looking for him. I didn't dwell on it too much, because he was still so healthy. I told my mom, who also worked with this client, and she suggested that I just stay aware. But since he was doing so well, that maybe I was just overthinking things, or possibly looking for something to be uncomfortable about. Not even a week later, this client got out of the house without the present caregiver knowing. He was walking to his vehicle that he wasn't allowed to drive, and forgot he had stairs leading down to it. He fell down the steps, then rolled across the road and down a hill into the woods a little bit. He laid there a few minutes before the caregiver found him. They took him to the ER and bandaged him up. They said he should be okay, but he was not. He started declining immediately after this. His Alzheimer's hit the end stage overnight. He could barely walk, and we had to put his bed in the living room so we could access him with more room at all times. 2 weeks after, I had a heavy feeling that he passed away at home with his daughter while she held his hand. This is exactly what happened. After all that, I realized I'm not just a dramatic overthinker. I started taking my feelings seriously. When I work at nursing homes, I can tell which resident will be the next to pass. When I work in homes, I can tell when the client is 2 weeks away from passing. Even in my own personal life, I had that familiar feeling about my great aunt. I knew she was going to pass soon, even though I had no basis to assume so. 2 weeks later, she had a heart attack in her sleep and never woke up. I also dream about things that I shouldn't know. When I was in middle school, I attended with a girl who had seizures, and it got to the point where the night before, I would know if she wasn't going to be at school the next day, merely based on a feeling or a dream that she had a seizure or got sick. We weren't even friends, and this was before the days of social media. It became more random as I got older. I dreamt that a house in my neighborhood burnt down, which, sure enough, ended up happening. I dreamt my brother and his girlfriend were going to get hurt if they went to the lake, so I told them to avoid the lake for a while, which they did. Nothing bad happened to them, but I know something would have if they hadn't listened. About a year ago, I dreamt about this boy who was in an accident with a couple of his friends. He was injured but was steadily recovering and set to be released soon. However, I dreamt that he ended up passing away unexpectedly. I told my husband about my dream, and a couple of days later, our Facebook feeds were flooded with this kid's face. Something happened, and he didn't make it. His blood pressure suddenly tanked, and he passed away that same day. I had a dream about my husband's ex once, and the place they lived before I met him. I had never been or even seen photos of this place, but I was able to describe in detail how to get to the front door, the layout of the house, where she piled her laundry, where they had a fish tank, and the layout of their bedroom to an exact. I'm not sure why I had a dream about that, other than my psyche wanting to torture me with extra information about my husband's ex that I didn't need to know. This all happens frequently, to the point where I no longer keep it secret. And if something is going to happen, I warn people. And when it does happen, at least I tried to warn them. I fully believe these gifts are the cause of my constant anxiety. I think I am so in tune with the other side that my brain is constantly trying to rationalize everything I see or feel, even though it's not of this plane of existence. Until I learn to open up completely and fully control my gift, I'm stuck in this state of anxiety, just moving through the motions of taking it one dream, one visit from a spirit, and one premonition of a death at a time. If you have this gift, you are not alone.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
My Daughter's Other Mother by Sinead. When my daughter had turned 4 years old, she started school and became aware for the very first time that she didn't have a grandma, and everybody else in her class did. Unfortunately, she only has one grandparent, my dad. My mom died 16 years ago after a long battle with breast cancer. My husband's mom died when he was just 16 after suffering terribly from MS. And my husband's dad died of old age when our daughter was just about 3 months old. When my daughter asked me, "Why don't I have a grandma?" I wanted to be honest with her. I just kept it simple and told her that she had died and that it was very sad. "So, your mom died?" she asked. "Yes, my mom died." "And daddy's dad?" "Yes." "And daddy's mom died?" "Yes, she did." She sat and thought about this for a moment, and then got a very serious and faraway look on her face and said, "My mom died," in a sad whisper. I laughed and said, "No, she didn't. I'm your mom. I'm still here, aren't I?" "No. Not you, my other mom." I said, "I'm your mom. You only get one mom. I didn't die," still chuckling to myself at her confusion. Suddenly, she was very angry with me and shouted, "No, not you, my other mom." This outburst was completely unlike her. I was a bit surprised and dumbfounded, so I decided to drop the subject altogether and move on to something else. Maybe a week later, I was laughing about the whole thing and telling a friend about it in our kitchen. I thought my daughter was probably just confused about who died, as a lot of people had died. I'm midway telling my friend when my daughter overhears and comes storming into the kitchen yelling at us, "It was my other mom!" My daughter is 7 now and doesn't remember this. I wish I had asked more questions about this other mom, but I didn't want to keep making her so angry.
Knock Knock by Matthew. This story is one that I experienced firsthand a couple of years ago. I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she was into spiritual, witchy stuff, as she always told me. The house her family lived in was a decently sized three-story house, most likely built in the late 90s to early 2000s. I always felt a little uneasy being in their house, especially when I was alone pet-sitting for them. I always felt like I was being watched, or as if there was something else in there with me. One night, she had to stay in the house by herself and didn't want to, so she asked me to come stay the night with her. Of course, I stayed with her, and the night went on as usual. Nothing eventful. Until we went to sleep. To add an extra layer of creepy to the story, I was sleeping with a blanket that had Ouija board patterns on it. At a seemingly random point in the night, I was suddenly awoken to the sound of loud and sharp knocks on her bedroom door. I shot up and stared at the door, waiting for someone to come in, but no one ever did. After a few moments of staring at the door, I checked the time. It was 3:01, meaning the knocking probably happened at exactly 3 a.m. I stared at the door until I slowly faded back to sleep. I told her about it the next day, and she nonchalantly said, "Yeah, there's a spirit here," to which I just stared in shock. Fast forward to present day. About a week ago, I'm asleep in my bed in my apartment with my wife. I suddenly awoke to knocking on our bedroom door. This one wasn't as loud or as sharp. It was actually sort of faint. I immediately looked over at my alarm clock to check the time. It read 3:01 a.m. But that clock is a little fast, meaning it was actually 3 a.m. To whoever or whatever knocks on my door at 3 a.m., let's not meet.
Tata's Doppelganger by Astral Anomaly. This happened when I was a senior in high school. I can't remember if it was the summer before or if it was just another weekend. But my little cousin is just about to turn 7, and this happened when she was a baby. Tata is what we all call our grandmother's sister. They say it is what one of our uncles used to call her because she couldn't pronounce Tita properly. We never met him, but somehow my cousin, who is the same age as me, began calling her that as well when we were kids, and the rest of us just picked it up. Tata has a daughter who has a house in the next city. At the time, it was new, and they had just moved in that year. It was a 2-story, modern-style home that was built from the ground up. It's big, and it has 2 floors with 3 bedrooms, and all of them are on the ground floor. Upstairs is basically just a room with a tennis table, sports stuff, and a mini library. It also has a small balcony where they would hang their clothes. As the older cousins, we would hang out there, watching movies and babysitting the younger cousins. It was probably around noon when we were herding the little cousins into their room to take a nap. When you walk towards the rooms in the house, you pass by a short hallway that has stairs on the left side. And a little before the stairs is a wall mirror on the right side. I was on my way to the rooms, and I had just passed the mirror, and I was right next to the first step of the stairs when I saw Tata coming down with a laundry basket filled with what could be assumed fresh clothes off of the clothesline. This seemed normal, but it wasn't. Because as I approached my younger cousin's room, Tata came out of the master bedroom, carrying my baby cousin. My head immediately turns to look back, but of course, Tata is now right in front of me. I wasn't terrified or anything, mostly confused, bewildered maybe. I assumed it was Tata because there were no other adults in the house. And then, of course, I asked her if she was upstairs. And my other cousin promptly answered that she and Tata had been trying to get our baby cousin to go back to sleep. And that wasn't the first time something copied Tata. Back home, in our compound, next door there is a family ancestral house that belonged to my great-grandparents. The house that my grandmother Tata and their siblings grew up in. this house has a whole lot of other stories, maybe for another time. It's not haunted by ghosts, but by things unseen, I guess. Anyway, because Tata now lives with her daughter in the next city, and their siblings all have their own lives now, there was a time when the house would be empty on weekdays. I remember passing by the house one afternoon on my way to the store. As I passed by the area that had the kitchen and the outdoor bathroom, I heard a cough. I kid you not, it was Tata's cough. Well, when I was done with the store, I took the long way back instead of passing by there. I don't know why it's Tata that it tries to copy, in two separate houses, and with years between them. That is, if it's even the same thing. Nothing like this has happened to me since, and I'm absolutely fine with that. Whatever it was that took my grandmother's form, let's not meet.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder, but most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In Amanda's story about seeing the pizza man ghost, she mentions a picture her grandma took of her with a film camera. And then when it got developed, there was a white fog over her head. Do you remember the site ghoststudy.com?
Oh yeah, that site was so cool. I love like classic early internet, like the look before everything became so polished, you know?
Yeah.
I remember seeing a lot of pictures like that, white fog or smoke or orbs.
Yeah, I'm glad you remember it too. That's why I had to bring it up. When she mentioned that picture, so many memories came flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sneak out into the living room and get on the dial-up, hoping nobody would wake up. Then I'd just click through the image galleries and give myself the chills all night. It was so fun.
Yeah, and since the pictures took so long to load, it added an extra layer of suspense.
Yep, that is so spot on. I can see you speak from experience.
Yeah, however, the computer was too close to my parents' room for me to sneak onto it at night. And as you can imagine, my computer time was pretty heavily monitored.
Mm-hmm.
My mom specifically told me I couldn't look at ghosts. For some reason, aliens were okay, though.
Weird. If I were to guess, I'd assume it's because of everything the Bible has against divination. Mm-hmm. Maybe she kind of lumped ghosts in general into that. Whereas like with aliens, maybe she just brushed it off as silly sci-fi stuff or something like ninjas or dinosaurs. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it was more so she just thought ghosts were evil.
Mm.
Remember about.com's paranormal section?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't come off as like some afterthought either. Like that could have been its own website. They were on it. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's kind of how I got around the no ghosts rule. All their sections looked the same. It didn't have like that creepy, dark look that all the other paranormal sites had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at a glance, she never really knew what I was reading.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, obviously we believe in all that stuff, but I was like 10 or something. And to me, if an article is written on a popular website that was well designed, it had to have been true.
Yeah.
So I just remember having my mind blown, thinking their articles about, let's say, Bigfoot confirmed without a doubt that he's real.
Yeah.
Like I uncovered the answers to things that other people just didn't hear about yet.
Yeah, we lived in a time when things weren't so easily disproven and footage was not so easily doctored, I guess. So everything felt so much more real back then. It's a magic that's totally lost now. But going back to ghoststudy.com, I was genuinely obsessed with this site. I specifically remember loving this thing that they did called Calling on Ghosts, where they would ask mediums or even ghosts to respond to questions, and they'd always share the responses on the website.
I would have believed that 100%.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked the medium responses. They were super genuine and interesting. One that stuck with me was when this medium asked somebody to come through and answer the questions that Ghost Study had posted. And the spirit that talked to her was from the Bay Area, specifically San Jose, which was a place that I lived as a kid. So it was especially cool for me at the time. And the spirit said things like she could see the past and present, but she couldn't predict the future. And that ghosts can't kill people and don't have any interest in doing anything like that.
Well, I guess that's a relief. I mean, the fact we don't really see any clear-cut cases of paranormal causes of deaths is one of the reasons I carry a tinge of skepticism, depending on what it is, of course. But I can also accept the fact that maybe a trickster poltergeist has dropped a chandelier on somebody's head or something, and we'd never know.
Yeah, kind of Scooby-Doo type death.
Yeah.
I think the exact words that they used were the ghosts don't directly cause death. Indirectly, that's another story.
Yeah, quite the case of it's just a prank, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. They're tricky. Anyway, the medium said that there were all kinds of spirits, both good and bad, and that love and fear are the strongest powers that exist. Kind of woo-woo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, sage totally works for evil ghosts, but a lot of the good ones don't mind sharing the houses that they lived in with you if you're a new owner. They just don't like to be kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shared space after all. I have some sage, Palo Santo, cedar, and a couple of crystals here in my office. And I've said it before, but I think intention carries more weight than any physical properties they might have. Like, they're not an exact equivalent of garlic to vampires, you know what I mean?
Definitely. And I need to re-up. If any of our listeners sells these items, you know, sage, Palo Santo, that kind of stuff, crystals, let me know. I'd love to shop from one of our listeners. But anyway, I keep going back to ghoststudy.com, but I also have to mention that they were based out of Sacramento, California, which is just 10 minutes away from my area. And it was run by this guy named Jim Eaton. Yes, I know. I was obsessed.
I mean, maybe we could get in contact with him and see if he's still in the paranormal field or have him on the show or something.
Yeah, I know that he put out a couple of photo books of his ghost pictures, but I don't really know what happened to him. They were quality books from what I can see on Amazon, just kind of browsing around right now. I'm definitely going to buy one. I know Reddit said that he dealt with some kind of tragedy and shut the site down, but I hope the guy's doing okay now.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't kind of like Art Bell with his Ouija board thing. But I mean, Art Bell kept doing what he was doing after the Ouija board incident. So hopefully Jim is doing all right.
Yeah.
I did notice that the domain is parked at one of those default landing pages.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
Yeah. If you are really interested in ghoststudy.com, though, and you should be, I would recommend using the Wayback Machine on the Internet Archive to pull the site up.
Yeah.
You can browse pretty much everything on there that's been lost since the site is inactive.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did a few nights ago. Archive.org is awesome. My old Pokemon site was, I guess, popular enough to make it onto the Wayback Machine, but I'd rather not share that URL here.
Yeah, no reason to broadcast your digital footprint like that.
Yeah, I don't want to be canceled over a fart joke I made when I was in the fifth grade.
There'd be at least one person in the world who would try.
There's always one.
Yeah. So anyways, I had another shadow person experience.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure that this happened because I've been meditating a lot more than usual, and I'm getting back into the gateway experience.
Careful with raising those vibrations. You're going to knock your house off its foundation if you keep it up.
I know. It has its pros and its cons, but it's worth it to me because I have more lucid dreams. I'm generally a bit less stressed, and life just seems more interesting when I'm doing these types of things. Anyway, it wasn't anything new, just the normal sleep paralysis with a shadow figure standing in the corner of the room. That's how they go for me. The thing is, I was able to calm myself down this time, and instead of waking up completely and moving around, I just fell right back to sleep.
Just like when we talked to Timothy Renner from Strange Familiars when we had him on.
Yeah, exactly. When you heard those three bangs at 3 a.m. too.
Yeah, that's even more appropriate to bring up because of the knock knock story by Matthew.
Yeah, that was a pretty short story, but I'm glad you read it. I like those short ones. It was so similar to what happened to you. And hey, we love corroboration.
Yes, we do. Exactly why I read it. At some point, it all can't just be a coincidence. That's actually why I keep the Palo Santo and all that by my desk. I was admittedly more of a hopeful agnostic up until that happened, and now I have no choice but to be a full-blown believer, for better or worse.
Yeah, I think that's what it takes for a lot of people, having their own personal experience.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh, and back to Timothy Renner. I'm glad that you mentioned him because I've actually been listening to Strange Familiars pretty regularly. And he had a guest on named Brother Richard Hendrick. He's this friar from Ireland. And they discussed stuff like demons, abductions, and a lot of other paranormal topics.
I'll have to check that one out. I like Timothy's energy. I can listen to him and not feel socially drained when the episode's over. I'm sure you know what I mean. There's just certain hosts that are just kind of...
Yeah, that's what keeps me coming back. I know exactly what you mean. I'm so picky. It was my favorite episode of the more recent episodes, though, because they touched on the idea that these entities that Timothy always likes to refer to as the others, I think he did that on our show too, whether it be aliens, ghosts, or Bigfoot, that they may be lulling us back to sleep because that's when we're most vulnerable and susceptible to spiritual attacks.
See, that's affirming and nice to hear because I'm almost positive I've said something along those lines on this show before.
Yeah.
Being vulnerable and susceptible when we're sleeping or in that half asleep stage.
Yeah, yeah, you have. And that's why I mentioned it.
Okay, well, thank you for the additional affirmation. I'm not just going crazy.
Anytime. So I think it could be good-natured spirits that are putting us back to sleep to protect us as well. It's clearly a theory that's a work in progress, but I found that to be interesting. And they referenced how many people that have paranormal encounters, well, the stories just end with them falling back to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing super interesting beyond the fact that this time I just fell back to sleep and I woke up all right.
Yeah, I remember Timothy teased me a little bit about doing the same thing with the three bangs. I was definitely scared as hell, but I somehow knew it wasn't a person in my house shooting at my cats or something. So I just kind of laid there, shaken up and had a little bit of humility in my bones and just drifted back off to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I woke up all right. I'll say that.
Well, thank God you did because we have a podcast to do.
Amen, Brother Brandon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it in to stories@oddtrails.com. All the stories you heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. If you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, head over to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. The show's not possible without all of the wonderful patrons that support us. And finally, make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Welcome to Paradise It Sucks and the Old Time Radio Cast, all at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.